Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Emma.
And I'm Gabby, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club. Hello, how are you?
Oh, okay, happy week before publication.
Oh my god, how exciting.
Oh my god. Guys, we are very boring at the moment.
It's just bookie, bookie, wookie, 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 bookie, wook.
Just turn it off now, to be honest, because it's all we're talking about and it's all we're thinking about.
Well, you know, it's the biggest piece of work we've ever done.
Yeah.
And we're about to set it free.
Yeah.
Fly, my pretties.
I'm terrified.
It is quite terrifying.
I'm absolutely terrified. I was up from 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock this morning, just worrying.
Oh dear. That's not great.
No, but not just worrying about that, because today was my first day back at work as well, so I was worrying about that.
Oh yeah, that's classic.
We're doing a photo shoot tomorrow, so I was worrying about what I'm going to wear.
Yep, we are.
Still worrying about that, but trying not to think about it.
Same. There's a lot going on. It's all very exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. But generally, you're right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I cannot complain. I don't have COVID.
Great.
Yet. And I'm tickety-boo.
Cool.
You?
Well, we went on a run yesterday together, which turned into more of a limp because I got cramp and I've still got cramp. I don't know what to do about it. It just won't go away.
Oh, Emma, I broke you.
And I started reading about, like, why do we get cramp? And the summary is basically because you tried to run too fast, babe. And we were not running fast.
No, we really weren't. No. As you keep saying, you're bouncy.
I'm so bouncy.
Emma, listeners, Emma runs upwards, not forwards. She said before that she's a bouncy runner and I didn't really understand what that meant. And now I do.
I just need to make somebody, if there's like a running specialist who's listening, who has any tips on making me run forwards rather than upwards, I'd really appreciate it. Because I feel like I'm causing myself a lot of unnecessary exhaustion.
You are. I think you're putting stress on certain muscles that don't need to have stress on them.
Yeah.
And you're not gaining much traction. Do you know what I mean? You're not going the distance.
No, I'm not going any distance.
Just going up and down.
So if somebody could just help me, that would be so great.
Lol. Yes. But it was lovely. It was a very sunny day and I'm glad that we went, regardless of the
bouncing
slightly shortness of the run.
Did you feel like Rachel from Friends and I was Phoebe?
I am struggling to recall that episode. Maybe. Fuck?
Yeah, I can't remember one of the most iconic television moments of the 90s.
Oh god. There's a lot of Friends episodes. I can't remember them all.
No, but that's quite an iconic one.
It's probably iconic for you because you were like, oh, that's me.
It's me. Yeah.
Burned right into your retinas because you're like, well, there we go.
Okay, So we've got a couple of things to announce before
we
get on with the show, right? Or one thing specifically.
Ooh.
Do you want to announce it?
Oh, the book competition.
Yeah, that one specifically. Yeah.
So guys, friends of the podcast, we're going to give away 10 copies of our book.
10.
10 signed by our fair hands.
Yeah.
With a little note to you. Mm-hmm. And maybe a doodle.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided.
A doodle. And
a doodle, yeah. Wow. I don't know what the doodle's going to be of. Maybe us. Like, hey, thanks for buying our book. Thanks for winning our book.
We'll just do a doodle of ourselves. If, like, listeners, you want the doodle from Gabby, not the doodle from me.
I mean, I'm happy to do all the doodles.
Okay, you do all the doodles.
But yes, so to enter the competition, you need to write to us, send us an email with the subject BFN book win. Is that what we're doing? BFN book win?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And you need to tell us how many times the word fuck appears in our book. And the 10 closest people to the actual number will have a book sent to them in the post by us. And I think, Emma, that we should send them to anywhere in the world, bypassing publishing laws.
Oh, Gabby.
I know.
Naughty girl. Yes. You can get our very NHS-centric book sent to you wherever you are.
It is very British,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, hilarious. Yeah. So there you go, listeners. Write in. Post haste. How many times do we say fuck?
God, not even I know the answer to that.
I haven't worked out yet either, but there's quite a few, just to give you
a hint, guys. We'll search the document.
Yeah, well, that was my plan. I was going to count them all. The reason I know there's quite so many fucks is that when we were given a proof of the book after it had been typeset, there was clearly like a glitch. And so every time the word fuck appeared, it was written incorrectly. And so I had to make a note of all the times that fuck was written wrong, which was lots.
You know why that was, don't you?
Why?
Because they had decided in an early proof to star out, to like asterisk out all the swears.
Oh.
And so somebody obviously did like, you know, like where you have to search and replace. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Word and had searched and replaced and accidentally added a space.
Oh, interesting. Look at you. You went deep on the mystery of the fuck.
Yeah, I did. I thought about it a lot as I was reading it.
Yeah, well, it appeared a lot, so it was a regular reminder. Anyway, guys, if you want to win a book and you can tell us how many times we said fuck, get in touch.
Oh, you made it rhyme as well.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's bigfatnegativepodcast@gmail.com, as you all know.
And the subject line is BFN book win.
BFN book win. It's me real good English speak.
I think we should leave it like that.
So, yeah, the competition will close next Tuesday, guys.
Yeah, so get your emails to us by next Tuesday.
Great. Okay, should we talk about the episode?
Yes. Yeah, so, it's a really great episode today, and it's... As I will explain just before the interview, it's something that I've actually been putting off for a while because it's a subject that's quite close to my heart.
Yes.
You'll hear more about that later. We are interviewing the amazing Hayley Manning, who runs a podcast called Time to Talk TFMR. TFMR stands for Termination for Medical Reasons. It is essentially a pregnancy termination after you've discovered that your baby has a life-limiting medical condition. We've been giggling a lot just now, but it's a fucking serious subject.
And
Hayley is just admirably calm talking about it.
Yeah. Like,
and strong and honest. And I thought it was a really great interview.
Yeah. If anyone, I think, could talk about a subject like this, but make it very accessible and not just really, really sad all the time, I think she does it really well. Like, obviously, it's such a horrendous thing to have gone through.
Yeah.
But yeah, she talks about it very eloquently and very nicely.
For anybody going through it, to be honest, for anyone in any situation, it's a very triggering subject. It's a very difficult subject to listen to. If you are in any position where you don't think you can listen to this, don't listen to it. Mm. I've talked in the past about how I went through a kind of a pro-life phase while I was going through infertility. But generally, the pair of us are very pro-choice, aren't we?
Yes, of course.
That is the tone of this interview. So if that's not your vibe, then like, that's fine. But that is the tone of this conversation. But I did think there was a really interesting episode recently of This American Life, which is talking about how TFMR intersects with faith and Christianity. Mm. And it was a woman who was very pro-life, talking about how her mind had been changed a little bit, having gone through it twice.
Oh, God.
I know, it's really difficult. But massively worth a listen. Mm. The episode is called But I Did Everything Right. One of those ones where they kind of snuck some infertility into what I thought was just normal, episode.
You thought it was a safe bit of content to consume.
Yeah, I did, but it was actually really good. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. If you can bear to listen to it, it's such a good interview. Hayley is amazing.
I know it is, obviously it's very difficult, but I think it's not a horrible interview to listen to, I don't think.
No, like, no one was in tears at the end, which we quite often are.
Hayley's so lovely and she's so funny and bouncy and light, and yeah, it's obviously a really dark subject, but she does it so brilliantly. I think it's not, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. It's not something to avoid unless you're really in the place where you don't want to listen to it, in which case, fair enough.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, fair enough.
I think that's the summary.
There is a summary, because guess what?
What?
Professor Tim is still not here.
I know. Where's he gone?
Well, he did email me today, finally. And he said, soon. I don't know what that means.
He's a very mysterious man.
Is a mysterious man
doing mysterious things
indeed. So I'm gonna say it again, next week he'll be back and hopefully I'll be correct.
Maybe if he doesn't come back at all this series, we should do like a Professor Tim special where he just answers like all our questions in one go.
We could do that.
Yeah
mm. Ha. That's what's coming at you, Tim. You don't pull the finger out. Brilliant, guys. Well, in that case, move on to listen to the episode, I would say.
Yes. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on Instagram.
At Big Fat Negative.
You can reach us on Twitter.
At Big Fat Negative.
You can email us.
Once again, bigfatnegativepodcast@gmail.com.
And we would love it if you were to just pre-order our book. Just do it now. Like no other request, no other instructions.
Yeah. No, nothing else.
Just the book.
You won't regret it.
Please enjoy this episode. And we're back.
And we're back. Yay. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. This week's subject of choice is a very holy one.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like the Pope today, do we?
No, we don't like the Pope.
It's not very good.
Holiness, no, he was very offensive. Have you got the exact phrase?
Yes, I do.
Okay, read it out for Sarah Emma.
In a recent a general audience at the Vatican, he was talking about pet ownership. And he said, "Today we see a form of selfishness. We see that some people do not want to have a child. Sometimes they have one and that's it, but they have dogs and cats that take the place of children. This may make people laugh, but it is a reality." Then he said, "It's a denial of fatherhood and motherhood that diminishes us and takes away our humanity."
Wow.
Right? I mean,
that is quite something to say.
It's not very nice, is it, Gabs?
It's not very nice. I mean, obviously, we've got a big problem with it. But also, you know, any pet lovers, like...
Yeah.
RSPCA, they should have a word with him. I'd go after him if I was them.
We're both cat owners, as regular listeners will know. Yes. My cat I got after my first round of IVF failed, because, yeah. And I've kind of described this before on the podcast, I felt a profound need for something small and wriggly in my lap. I just remember sitting there and just needing something in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
She did not provide that massively. Because she's a mad bitch. But I really feel strongly that she helped to rehabilitate me after that, and she helped me to get over that, and she helped me to deal with my grief.
I have no doubt she did.
And, you know, we've interviewed Kate Spicer about her dog. She now has two dogs, actually.
Yep.
And the importance of her dog to her.
Yeah.
And again, as a kind of almost form of therapy.
Totally. And the lovely Cat Brown, of course, who we've also interviewed on this podcast, has two cats and newly a dog who is bringing her great comfort.
Yeah, and she wrote about this for The Telegraph and about how, you know, I mean, we don't even need to say this on here, but about how people's reasons for having pets are many and varied. And it's not just people choosing to get a dog instead of a baby.
Yeah, it's the selfish term, I think, that is most kind of like cutting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the best meme I saw on this subject was just a shot of a still from the movie Clueless of Ty saying, "You're a virgin that can't drive."
Yeah. It was perfect. Whoever came up with that meme is a fucking genius.
It made me laugh a lot.
It is very, very funny. It's not cool, man. Like, you know, I thought the Pope was all about saying things that are a bit less offensive these days.
Yeah, I mean, he has been quite progressive. And actually, the Vatican's involvement in the fertility sector is surprisingly, like, vast.
Mm.
Like, it helped to fund one of the very earliest fertility drugs. Mm. And it let... one of the companies that was developing that fertility drug use we from nuns to create it.
This is one of your best IVF facts.
Yeah, and I repeat it often.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
So, like, they should know.
Yeah, come on, guys. My pets are I didn't get mine. I got mine long before my IVF struggle. But they did. They were a source of comfort for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, I think we're all very aware, especially those of us who are dealing with this, that pets don't replace a baby.
No,
they can help us deal with it, but they don't replace it.
No.
And so, kind of, it almost feels like he's throwing at that in our faces when he says things like that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So, down with that. Down with that kind of shit.
It just wasn't a very nice thing to say, was it, Gabby?
No, it wasn't.
No. I've got an update for the Sex and the City IVF storyline, if anybody's interested.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm not going to give away any spoilers, because there aren't really very many spoilers there to give away, but it just came up again and was equally kind of disappointing.
I need to catch up on it, actually. I kind of, do you know what? I just find it a bit, it's not very good, is it?
No.
Do you know what I mean? I'm watching it mainly for Carrie's outfits, which I have to say I'm not disappointed by. They are fantastic. She looks great.
She was wearing like a cupcake headdress the other day, which was really impressive.
Yeah. She's great. It's fantastic. But the rest of them and the dialogue and the way that the dialogue is delivered, I'm sorry, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's so wooden.
It's not great. Also, I refer to it as Sex and the City. It should, of course, be called And Just Like That.
Oh, yeah.
And
Just Like That.
He died. That was my favourite line from it.
Yeah.
And Just Like That, he died.
Oh, spoiler there, Emma.
I think everyone knows about it.
Yeah, I hope so. Any other news?
No, that's it really. Just the old Pope. And...
the old Pope. I saw him once, you know.
Did you?
Oh, it wasn't this Pope though, it was a different Pope.
Okay. Maybe the last thing about Pope? This one is he's supposed to be quite nice and like empathetic.
Mm.
Like he's like slightly pro gay marriage, I think.
Good, good, good.
So I just think, but not very progressive in this situation.
No, no. I mean, it's just not being very inclusive and thoughtful about reasons for people to have pets.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hayley, this has been a long time coming, hasn't it?
It has. It all started with a what was it? Shave my balls? No, what was it? What was the
Sorry, what?
There was this person that kept messaging all fertility podcasts
and
like other people as well about it was like some kind of ball shaving product.
Yeah.
Being like, you could make money if you advertise it. And we were like, you're all right, mate.
Haven't got the equipment.
Not our vibe particularly, but sure. Well,
cracking up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny, I posted about it and then Emma, you're like, can we get that one too? And we bonded. Yeah,
the thing was, Hayley, that I had been hovering in the background for a long time thinking, we need to get those guys on BFN. And I do need to kind of set out my stall here a little bit.
Okay.
Because, you know, as I confessed to you when I was talking to you about it, I have found the subject of TFMR very, very, very difficult to even think about talking about, especially on a podcast. And that is because we did PGD with my embryos, or PGTSR as it's now known, because my husband has a balanced translocation. Mm-hmm. And that increases the chances of conceiving a child with Down syndrome. And also I've grown up with people, with family members, with very severe learning disabilities. So therefore, all of this has been like sloshing around my brain for a long time. And it's just a subject that I find really difficult.
Yeah, fair enough.
And you make a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
you're brave.
Yeah. I guess we are. Yeah.
Should we start? Why don't we start with the classic? Hayley, can you tell us about your journey?
I can tell you about my journey. Yeah.
Tell us about your journey.
Okay. Buckle up. We had a TFMR back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Coming up to the 5-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I mean, prior to that, I've also had miscarriages. Mm-hmm. And I'd had one of those miscarriages happen just before the TFMR, or was the pregnancy before the TFMR. Mm. And so, I mean, you know, we went into the scan the 12-week scan, and I was already kind of gearing myself up for being told that there's possibly not a heartbeat.
Right.
You know, that's happened to us
because
before.
That just happened. Yeah.
Yeah, it hadn't happened with the previous miscarriage, but it happened to us in another miscarriage.
Okay.
And so I was kind of lying there waiting to be told that. And I have to say also, we also had our son with us at the time. So I've got, he's now 7. He was about 2¾ at the time. Okay. We had him with us because we'd been in the hospital with him. So, you know, not advisable to have your young children with you at these scans. I didn't really understand why particularly, but this is why. So we were all stuffed in that room, and she said, you know, I'm very sorry, but I'm seeing something not quite right. So kind of all hell broke loose then, and we sort of found out maybe about, I want to say maybe a week later or so, that Luna had Turner syndrome.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is Turner syndrome?
Yeah, so Turner syndrome is a spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. So like those like Down syndrome is a spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of girls and women walking around living life and you wouldn't necessarily even know that they have Turner syndrome. So it can be very, very high functioning. Mm-hmm. But it's basically where they only have one X chromosome. So they're always female.
Okay.
And they only have one X chromosome. And it creates all sorts of issues, physical issues and health issues, with that, but not necessarily intellectual disability.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sort of had that information, we kind of thought, well, let's just see what happened. So what they had seen on the ultrasound was something called a cystic hygroma, which is a fluid-filled sac at the back of the neck. So that's that nuchal fold translucency test. That's what they're looking at.
And that's what's often used to diagnose Down syndrome, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we'd actually been told by the consultant before we got the results that he thought it might be a combination of Down syndrome and Turner syndrome because the fluid was quite significant. But in the end she only did have Turner's. And we decided to kind of wait and do our research, keep having scans, and kind of just get our heads around what we were looking at.
Did you know what Turner's was before?
No idea. No. Hadn't heard anything about it before. So we got in touch with the Turner's Syndrome Association, something like that. They were brilliant. They were really helpful. And we just tried to find out as much as we could about it and kind of figure out, what her life might look like if she was able to survive. And I have to say that the consultant was saying to me, I think you'll miscarry. This is quite significant fluid buildup. But again, he couldn't say that would be the definite outcome either.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of went along with that for about 6-7 weeks, you know, going for further scans and tests and just seeing how she was getting on, seeing if the fluid would start to kind of stabilize. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And Charlie, my husband, and I had sort of talked about, well, what would be our sort of red line, we called it. What would be the no further point?
Yeah.
And it sort of came at this scan with the consultant, and he just said, look, you know, I'm seeing, I could even see, actually, I had started to be able to see that this fluid was even bigger. This cystic hygroma was as big as her head. You know, it wasn't going down. It was going up. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I'm seeing multiple holes in her heart. And, you know, her lungs are being compromised. So there's, you know, this black, thick black line all around her lungs. That's the fluid buildup. So he said, you know, it's not going in the direction we were hoping for. And I just remember Charlie sort of saying, well, you know, because we've been researching heart surgery on young babies, on babies, on newborns.
Yeah.
And he said, but you can fix, you know, he's going, but you can fix the heart. He was sort of sitting there writing notes. He's like, but you can fix the heart. You know, you can do these operations. And he just went, no, no, if the lungs are compromised, then we can't do anything with the heart. They need to have fully functional lungs, fully formed lungs for us to be able to have a chance with their hearts. And that was our, that was the sort of clunk moment of, right, okay.
Yeah.
God, I'm so sorry, Hayley.
Yeah.
Awful. And so by the time you're having this discussion, you're what, 19 weeks pregnant?
Yes.
So yeah. Are you feeling her move?
Yes. Yeah. Like a little fluttery butterfly. Yeah.
Oh, God. And then, yeah. So what's your next step? Like, how, you know, at what point do you make the decision?
Well, we went home from that scan and, I mean, we kind of both knew that we were, that was it. I mean, I left, I kind of ran out of that hospital. I just needed to get out of there, really, because I knew that this is, that we were kind of at the end of the road here. So, the next steps were meeting with our main team at our local hospital and... Right. Sort of talking about, okay, what is it that you want to do? And so we spoke to the consultant. We spoke, that's when the bereavement midwife came in. I just said, look, I think we're now at a point where it's very unlikely that this is going to go in the way that we want to. Things are just getting worse. And by now they should be getting better if we were going to see that. And they agreed and they just said, okay, well, if that's your decision, then that's fine, you know. And we sort of then went off and it's kind of, you do these really odd thing. It's really quite strange, you know. Bereavement midwife Sally sort of went off with me to walk around the hospital birthing suites.
Right.
And they make it. And that sounds like that's going to be really awful. But for me, and for some people, that it probably would be, it would be. But it actually started to normalize everything. It was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to have her. I'm going to have this baby. And then she was asking me, have you thought of a name yet? And, you know, this is what we can do here. And here's our bereavement suite. So you can be in this. They were giving me options. You can be here. You can be here. Here's our bereavement suite if you'd like to do that. And it was all kind of oddly normal. But it kind of put me at ease as well.
I was going to say, did you find that helpful?
Yeah, I did personally find that helpful. Yeah.
Okay. And then were you induced or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they give you have to take tablets. You have to sign the form to say. And it's funny because I had kind of blocked that whole part out of my memory for the longest time. I couldn't remember signing the form.
How weird.
Yeah, I could just couldn't remember it. Yeah, I think that was probably because it was, you know, it's just I'd heard other women talking about it, and then you have to sign the form and it's awful and it's so traumatic. And I'm like, I can't remember signing it. Yeah. I must have signed it. And then it's more recently, actually, I've gone, oh, yeah, no, I do remember it now. And so, yes, I did have this form that I had to sign. I don't think I really read it, to be honest. I was just like, give me the fucking form, I'll whatever.
Yeah.
I don't really want to. And then you have to take the tablets that begin to turn off your progesterone, I think it is. It's one of the hormones. It starts to sort of bring that level down, start to prepare you. And then you go home for 2 days and you come back. And then I was induced. Yeah.
I mean, Hayley, I said I was going to find this hard to talk about and I literally can't think of any words. But what was the kind of process after you gave birth and what was it like to give birth knowing what the result was going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I was really scared of what Luna was going to look like. So I remember that when I was just telling you about walking around with Sally and talking about, you know, this is what's going to happen and here is where you're going to be. I asked her, you know, what I'm really scared of is what she's going to look like. Because I have to say, I actually didn't realize I was going to have to give birth. I thought that I would go in and I would have an operation.
Yeah.
I would have an essentially an ERPC. I don't necessarily think they call it that anymore, but I'd had one of those before for a miscarriage. And I thought this would be the same. I just assumed. And so when they said, no, you're going to have to go through a labor and delivery, I was really shocked. And yes, I was frightened about what she would look like. And Sally just said, well, she'll look like a very tiny baby, but she will be fully formed. You will see the cystic hygroma. She'll be very pink or red. You know, that's because of at this stage, that's what they look like. That's their skin. But she'll look like a very tiny, you know, fully formed baby. So she again just helped to kind of normalize it. And I am somebody that's like, just can I need to know. So that helped. And so when I went in, you know, I was worried about really, I thought, am I gonna panic? Am I gonna start screaming and shouting? Am I gonna really lose it? So I was a bit worried about that. But when labor kicked in, you know, and they also kind of say you could be here for several days and then it might not work. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God,
just stop hitting me with all this shit, really, because it's like enough is enough. But that's the reality. They don't know how exactly it's going to go. And I had a C-section for my son before, so they had to lower the dose of the medication, the induction medication, so that they don't cause a rupture. So they were erring on the side of caution. So they said, you know. So, yeah, like, am I going to be here forever? But luckily, it started. I say luckily. I say these words.
Luckily.
It started quickly. And actually, once it started, I kind of went, oh, I know what this is like. I've been through labor before. This feels familiar.
Yeah.
And I kind of just went into a kind of labor head.
Yeah.
And and I just like, this is what I need to do. And then honestly, I also went, I am excited about meeting my daughter.
Of course. And did you, I mean, how much time did you get to spend with her afterwards?
We stayed 3 days in the hospital with her. We had a private room in the bereavement suite, and we stayed there for 3 days. And Benjamin, our son, came to meet her, and Granny came to meet her. So yeah, it was good. You know, we can't. And again, Sally, the bereavement midwife, was like, "You take as long as you need.
Right.
You know, this is your time."
Amazing. That's amazing to hear. That's you know, it's because
you
do hear some stories where, you know, these kind of things weren't in place, and these, you know, you're not able to spend that time. So it's good to hear that was there for you, because that must be a very special time to know that you had that.
Yeah. And I mean, at first I didn't really understand what she was talking about. I have to say, I was kind of like, why am I going to want to stay? Why am I going to want to take pictures? What? Like, and then when she mentioned about a funeral, I was like, what? No, I don't know. What are you talking about? A funeral? What the fuck? I don't know what to do about that. You know, it was all so alien.
Yeah.
However, once it started happening, and then I went, oh, okay, this is why she was saying, because actually I have given birth to a baby and this is my daughter. And despite the circumstances, this is all kind of part and parcel of it. It sort of felt a little bit normal.
I mean, you know, we're talking about TFMR here. It's termination for medical reasons. And It's. I mean, that anybody who's tried to get pregnant will have trouble reconciling this idea of wanting a baby but having to then terminate that baby.
Yeah.
I mean, was the T word ever mentioned when you were talking to clinicians, or did they kind of lead you towards it without actually saying it?
I don't remember that word being used with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more. I think I started using the words end the pregnancy.
Right.
And I seem to remember them taking my lead on that.
Okay.
Because I can remember afterwards, maybe, I don't know, a week or so after we'd come home, and Sally coming to visit me and me kind of, I was obviously shocked and shell shocked. And she and I was saying to her, I can't quite figure out exactly what this is, you know, because it doesn't feel like a miscarriage. And she's like, that's because it's not a miscarriage. And I said, but it's not a stillbirth. And she's like, yeah. And but I don't know what to call it. You know, I was kind of I didn't understand. And I just was a bit. I think I knew that, yes, it's a termination. But that word just was too scary, really.
Yeah,
it didn't feel like it. It
doesn't feel like the right fit at all.
No.
Yeah. So what made you decide to start a podcast about it? Because that's...
Yeah, well, it's one of those... I remember, again, in those very early days, searching for other people's stories and finding pretty much nothing. And, you know, this was 5 years ago. So, you know, I wasn't on social media. So I didn't even have that as a, you know, an outlet, really. And people weren't really talking about this 5 years ago on social media.
Yeah.
And I my friend, actually Fiona, who's our producer on our podcast, is she sent me a clip of somebody who'd been on, I don't know if it was Radio 4 or something like that, but she sent me this and said, this might help you. And it was actually a stillbirth story. It wasn't a termination story. But just even hearing somebody else talk about a loss of this magnitude helped. And I think that's why, you know, there was no dedicated podcast talking just about this. We've had there are out there baby loss and infertility. You know, you guys have talked about it before. Well, they'll have an episode and they bring it in, and that's great.
Yeah,
but there was nothing that was just solely dedicated to this, and it was needed.
Yeah,
really needed.
Because a podcast creates a community. Is what we've found.
Yeah,
and also I imagine there are so many different experiences out there of this. And it's a huge area to explore. What's the reaction been like? Have you had any negative response to it?
No. No. I mean, to be fair, to be really perfectly honest, it is so niche, and you know, our listeners are mainly people who have been through this and then health professionals who are supporting them. You know, we don't have masses of people following us on social media, and so it's not something that I think is really on the radar of those who would have a problem with this, you know, anti-choicers or whatever. So we haven't had any negative feedback. It's only been positive.
That's great. I did read your Apple podcast and read your reviews, and someone was absolutely gushing about you, like just said they provided so much support, but then only gave you 4 stars.
I know. What the hell?
I love so much of that.
I know. I figured maybe she just sort of like got a bit lazy with the clicking on the stars or something. It was by accident.
It's only brought down your average though, hasn't it?
I think there's only like 3 or 4 reviews, so you know, whatever.
We've had some very scathing reviews that were 3 stars. So,
there you go. I don't know.
I do feel like that you're, you know, as a podcast, you're quite protective of your community. And one of the posts that I saw on your Instagram recently was talking about you've been approached by the makers of a documentary, and we'll go into the reason that documentary is being made in a minute.
Yeah,
but and they had wanted to talk to you, and you had just chosen not to talk to them after a long meeting with them. And you said to your listeners, like, really think twice if you are approached. Do you feel that kind of sense of responsibility to protect your community? Because it is a community that could become very easily infiltrated.
Yeah, I do. I do feel really protective. I feel there's a real duty of care. And I feel that people trust us. And so, yeah, I mean, when I was approached and I listened to what they had to say, and I felt, and I really took a lot of time to think about it. And I just went, I can't get behind this myself.
Yeah.
So I cannot endorse this. I can't allow what they were asking me to do by asking me for access to our listeners and followers. I couldn't do that.
Can you talk to us about it?
So, so when I was approached and, you know, I listened to them at length and, you know, I was at first I was quite pleased that, you know, there's people out there that want to make something about this that seems really positive.
Yeah.
And I think there, you know, there seemed to be a genuineness there about mm-hmm. this as well. So I believe that. However, the whole angle, the whole premise of it just is not going to be at all helpful for the TFMR community. Yeah. So the working title is Disabilities and Abortion. Does the Law Need to Change? And that's come mm-hmm. off of the back of this court case back in the summer here in the UK, where there was, three people, I think, in this bringing this motion or bringing this case to the High Court to try and say that the law should be changed to not allow terminations past 24 weeks for non-fatal abnormality, fetal mm-hmm. abnormality. Mm. And they had a woman with Down syndrome who was also fronting that.
Yeah. And a woman whose son has Down syndrome as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, we've come in for a bit of shit on this subject before, because we have, I think there was an episode in the first or second series when I was pregnant where I said, I'd have to be really unlucky if my baby had Down syndrome, because I had had all my embryos tested mm-hmm. and then I had had the normal 12-week Down syndrome test as well.
Yeah.
And I got shit for that, and somebody sent me a video saying, I'm sure the parents of these children wouldn't think that they're unlucky. And I wrote back to the person and said, actually, you know, I've grown up with this, and certainly my parents think that they were unlucky.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very, very hard to raise somebody with profound disabilities. And, you know,
absolutely.
The reason that people choose TFMR could be, you know, that it might not be a fatal thing, but it might be that you don't have enough money. You can't give up your job, which is often required in these situations. There's a lot of reasons.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could be a single parent. You could have another disabled child, or maybe other caring duties that you're caring for a sibling or a parent.
Absolutely.
You know, there are so many reasons why these decisions are made, and they are all so personal and individual.
I think it's fair to say that no one, especially when you're talking about these terminations, you know, that are for medical reasons, no one makes this choice lightly. No one goes, just abort.
I think we have to bear in mind that these are wanted pregnancies, you know, usually planned for, definitely wanted. And I think the amount of times I've heard women say, it didn't even occur to me that this was even possible, you know. And I mean, that may sound a little bit mad, but we actually don't really think this is something that's going to happen to us until it's happening to us.
No, of course.
It comes at you like a Mack truck.
I can imagine.
I'm sure that you talk about this on your podcast all the time, but what is your advice to people that are going through this now? Maybe they're in that kind of those weeks that you spent doing your research and having these conversations with your husband and your family. Like, what do you advise people that are going through this?
I mean, I think you have to be really kind to yourself, really, because, you know, it's such a shocking thing to happen. And actually, you know, you may not want to take 6 weeks like we did to figure things out, and that's okay. Some people know straight away, you know, in, you know, 2 days or whatever it is, that they know straight away that what the answer is for them. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So I think it's really about listening to what you need and taking care of yourself in that. There's a lot of talk about, you know, the baby and what the baby needs. That's important, yes, but also you are important in this. You're the one that has to survive this. Mm-hmm. So you do what you need to do.
And can I ask, did you get counseling afterwards?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah, so we got couples counseling from Child Bereavement UK. Mm-hmm. And we were with them for about 3.5 years. So they give unlimited, once a month, free counseling for as long as you need it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then I also was having personal therapy on top of that as well.
Mm. And we should just mention that there's a charity set up, isn't there? Just for people in your situation, called Antenatal Results and Choices, or ARC.
Yes, yes. And they've been wonderful supporters of our podcast as well.
Well, Hayley, it's been so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It must just be so difficult to talk about.
You know what? It's not really. Okay. I don't find it difficult to talk about. I relish the opportunity to talk about our experience. I think I've kind of felt, once I got to a point, you know, remember I'm 5 years down the line here, right? Yeah. Okay, so that's the other thing. Anybody listening who's like 2 weeks out and going, oh my God, I can't talk like that. Like, no, I couldn't talk like this either. But I have felt like I can, so I will.
Yeah.
And I promised Luna that her short existence would matter for something, would count for something. And so this is a part of that.
Well, I think you're an amazing mom to her.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
It's been emotional.
It has been emotional.
And next week it's going to be more emotional because it is publishing week.
Oh my God. We're going to be so annoying next week.
We are going to be so, like, if you thought we were annoying now.
So annoying.
You're in for a treat.
We will be doing an Instagram live next week. Talking about the book again. Talking more book chat. So if anyone's not sick of hearing about the book yet, tune into that. We have not decided when it'll be yet. So watch out on Instagram for the update. Yeah. It'll probably be us just saying fuck quite a lot again.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon.
Well,
never runs. No, never gets old, does it?
Maybe we could do some readings from.
We could do a little reading, yeah. A little reading.
We'll decide, guys. Let us know if you want anything in particular.
Yeah, get in touch with you. Burning book questions that you want to talk about. And have a great week, I guess.
Yeah. See you later.
Lots of love. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.